and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 5. And I will read the odd verses, and if together we can read the even verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. And let's go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this evening. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for today and the opportunity we can be here. Thank you for the love of your people that are here. They want to hear the Word of God, and I just pray that you'll bless you and guide and help us to be able to hear so our faith can be increased, so we can reach more people with the Gospels. Like the Salts, they've been able to reach people over the phone and such like that. I just pray that you help us and strengthen us where our faith can be increased so we can reach our neighbors and we can reach people with the Gospel. I do pray that you fill preacher with the powers that brings a message to us tonight, and Lord, we'll give you on glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
All right, as you have a seat, I just want to make note of the time. It's 6:33, and so I have 7:33, and we'll get right on time. I want to try my hand. I know Brother Hager told some pretty funny jokes. My kids were just laughing at the table there as we had lunch, so I thought I would try my best. When I pulled out my joke book in my office, Kevin looked up, and he goes, "Just make sure it's a good one." And I'll try. Just at a Bible college, a young pastor was about to conduct his first wedding, and he was worried sick. An older preacher gave him some advice. If you lose your place in the ceremony and you forget your lines, start quoting scripture until you find your place. That's pretty good advice. You know, maybe no one would know. The wedding day came, and sure enough, the young man got so nervous he forgot where he was in the ceremony. Unfortunately, the only verse that came to mind that he could think of was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." All right, everybody thought so, but Brother Jason, he's just looking back. They're like, "No." All right, and so anyway, yes, I tried. Anyway, Kevin, was it? All right. I give up. But anyway, I want to preach tonight about hardness. And what a hard crowd tonight. But I did get some laughs, so I feel good about my pick. But as Paul is writing to Timothy and giving him some instruction, some encouragement, as Timothy is maturing in the Lord and, of course, going to continue his life, his race for serving God, some instruction there, and it reminds me of courage. Of course, as we look at verse number 3 of chapter 2, where it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I think of what's required of every soldier, or what's a very important character trait would be courage. The opposite of courage would be cowardly. And I don't think our army or any soldier would do well in battle if they were cowardly. So courage is the strength of mind. Courage is a workout of your mind to overcome what maybe your mind is telling you, "Hey, I need to get out of here," or "This isn't safe," or "This is not where I need to be," and ended up retreating. But courage is a strength of mind which helps you face danger without fear. It doesn't make it any safer. It doesn't make the danger any less, but it does not allow fear to overcome you and to keep you from doing what needs to be done. Joshua could have faced any danger in the land of Canaan, as we heard about this morning. Joshua had courage. He had courage because of the promise that the Lord had given him. In Joshua 1:19, it says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and be of good and of good courage, and be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And we too can be courageous as we serve the Lord, and as we a couple of years ago talked about the spiritual warfares. We did a series on warfare, that we are in a battle for right and wrong. And many times that battle is, it takes place daily, and we must strive to stay courageous. And as we see here, as Paul is writing to Timothy, telling him to endure hardness as a soldier. You know, we encounter dangers and difficulty, but we can handle it with bravery. And we can, like our dollar bill or coin say, in God we trust. Because we trust in God and because we trust in His Word, we can have courage to face difficult times with hardness. Now, usually when we think of hardness, we think of a hardened heart or a hardened neck, as we think of being something negative. But in this aspect, a soldier needs to be hardened. It needs to be a veteran or seasoned in the area of withstanding tough times. That's why soldiers go through boot camp and they go through rigorous training and PT or PE, depending on which branch you're in. That's for Brother Jason. But you go through different training to try to harden yourselves, to push yourselves to the limit. I've read a lot of books on special forces soldiers that go through, and they get out, and as they're retired, they write books about their time in the special forces, and they talk a lot about the training that they went through as a young man, and many times pushing themselves beyond what they thought physically possible, and right to the limit. Many of the instructors standing by with a clock or a timer, because they know at a certain time that their body will then go into shock, and then dangerous effects can happen. So they're there waiting and watching, but as those young men are trying to push themselves, fight through what their mind is telling them, or even screaming at them, get out, stop, quit, as they're pushing themselves to become a hardened soldier. So when they're out in the battlefield, they can withstand what is thrown at them. You know, David faced a lion, and he faced Goliath. Gideon faced combated an army. Jesus endured the cross and the suffering and the agony. And all of those had the trait of courage and enduring those difficulties with hardness. And we have the promise of Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Of course, that the courage in which we have in God, courage is often tested when a person is in the minority. When you have to stand up all alone, or when you have to accomplish something, it's easy to stand when you've got an army behind you. It's easy to do right when everyone else is. But when you do right when everyone else is doing wrong, to understand, as a Christian, our courage rests solely upon God. That's all where our courage comes from. As a Christian, it comes from nowhere else, because He is the strength and He is the one in which we rely. In Psalms 27:14, when the odds are against you, as we're able to stand. And as Paul, being one who has endured, he's talking to Timothy in verse number 3, endure hardness as a good soldier. Christians, you know, are admonished to endure hardness like a soldier would. I think of what a soldier endures, the hardness of suffering affliction, or the trouble or the hardship of being pinned down. those soldiers that were pinned down in the jungles of Vietnam, or our U.S. troops that were pinned down and up on the mountains of Afghanistan, where it's blazing hot during the day and brutally cold at night. I've read the book about a lone survivor, about Marcus Luttrell, who found himself enduring hardness as an army of over 200 Afghans were after him as he fled and evaded, as three other soldiers had lost their lives trying to retreat, or should I say, falling down the mountain to get away from them. I remember as he describes what he would have given or what he would have done, or the only thing that was on his mind was water, as he was so thirsty. As his, do you think the endurance or the hardening of a soldier and what they endure? I've read books about both sides, or actually all three sides, about the Japanese and the U.S. Through the submarines, what the submariners, Brother Jason, they didn't have air conditioning and a lot of the luxuries in which we enjoy today, and the hardness in which many of them endured. I can't imagine the smoke, as several of them talk about the point that they were almost to the point of dying because of the exhaust fumes, as they had to constantly get fresh air, but yet it was too dangerous to go to the surface, or the battery fumes that would leak through the cabin. And even I've read several books about what the Japanese endured, many times starving to death as their supply lines were cut as the U.S. forces pushed from island to island. I've read books about the U.S. soldiers as they went to battle through France and then into Germany. I've read books even written about the Germans, about the Eastern Front, and many of them that froze to death that first winter. And knowing that many of those young men, they had nothing to do with the war. They did not start it. It was not their plan. It was not their. But they were by obligation or forced to fight. The endurance, or the hardships that they endured, as I would listen to the mud and the starvation and the fact that they would walk with the same pair of boots and socks for months on months, and they could not take them off because of the pain was so unbearable. Just to the point of giving up, that many would just sit down knowing that they would be captured by the Russians and killed. It just amazed me what the human body can endure. As we endure as a Christian, we too often can endure more than we think we can. At the point of giving up, and as 2 weeks ago I preached about not quitting, it amazes me how Christians are so quick to give up. They're so quick to surrender to the pressures of this world. They're so quick to wave the white flag of their standards. They're so quick to surrender the old-time religion. They're so quick to offer up the King James Version so we can have a more popular version, or we can give up the old hymns and spiritual songs for more modern music that speaks to the tap of our foot or to the vibration of our body. Think, oh, that sounds a little more pleasing. That sounds a little more like what the world would want. And we're so easy to quit when the pressures of this world come. But when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, I want you to endure like a soldier. As a soldier has to go without food, has to go without water, has to go even injured, you need to endure the hardness of this life and not quit, not give up when opposition comes our way. Sad to say, many people who live in today's world, they only want to do what's easy. You know, there's a lot of jokes or a lot of things said about millennials that they don't, but yet people whine and say, well, that's just too hard. That's just too hard to do, or that's just, you know, I've even heard preachers say, you know, it's just too hard to pastor today. It's just too hard to go soul winning. It's just too hard in which the day and age in which we live. Even sometimes my children will complain. I'll give them a task, and they'll look at me and say, oh, it's going to take so long, or that's too hard. And I've many times jokingly said, oh, you poor baby, trying to get my sarcasm to come along and to help them to understand Daddy doesn't care, but to endure and to finish that job. But, you poor thing. But every person needs to know and to do that which is hard. You look at the Bible, you see Elijah. He faced something that was hard when he faced the prophets of Baal on the Mount Carmel. It was hard for Noah for over 120 years to build an ark while everyone was sitting mocking him and ridicule him and calling him crazy Noah. And about the rain that's going to come because none of them had ever seen rain before. It was hard for Jesus, who was crucified, to become sin and to become mocked and ridiculed and to be beaten with a reed on his head and to be spit upon and become shame for mankind. And no doubt it was hard for John, who was exiled to the island of Patmos and who was boiled in oil. I can't imagine what many of the prophets and or the apostles and the disciples went through, the pain and agony, even everything that Paul went through. Think that the hardships that came, and we think, you know, having to be at church too much or read our Bible for too much time so we don't, or we're not allowed to watch our favorite TV show or to have to work in a ministry some way or somehow or else we feel guilty. You know, many times you look at what the early Christian and the early church and the persecution, they knew it was hardness and they endured. You and I, we can endure today. Hardness is always relative. What is hard to some may not be hard to another. And we need to keep that in mind when we deal with people. Not everyone's on the same page. Not everyone at your work is all equal. You'll have some people that are specialized in certain areas. Some work harder than others. And you got to understand, what's easy for one person, if you have children, you'll know that children are completely different. What one child may find easy to do, another one may find that task very hard to do. An example, a five-year-old can ride, it might be a hard thing for a five-year-old to ride a bike, but to a 27-year-old, hopefully that would be very easy task to do. And to do physics as a 17-year-old or even myself, to do physics would be very difficult. But hopefully to a master graduate student of college, that would be not too hard. Hardness is related to somewhat to the task, but also as well to the experience of the person. That's why in the Bible, to whom much is given, much is required. God expects more out of us if we've been brought up in a godly home and we know the Bible, we've read it from cover to cover, or we've been trained and had some kind of training through Sunday school and through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, than He does a brand new Christian that comes in and receives the milk of the Word. We should be able to handle hardness a little bit better. There's a couple things I want to give you that if we're going to endure hardness, we need to adapt to our character. As we've talked over the last few Sunday nights, of course, about not quitting. But now I want to talk about enduring that hardness. When you face something hard, you're going to have to start early. You've got to start early. When there's a task, maybe you've got an assignment from your job, or maybe there's a task for school, a school project, and you're going to have to start early. If it's something that you've never tackled before, and you know it's going to be a challenge, you know it's going to be a struggle for you to do, you'd better start early. Don't wait to the last minute to try to throw it together or to begin a hard task. You start to organize, you start to prepare, you start to, on paper, you start to write down ideas and allow yourself plenty of time to succeed. You're also going to have to stay late. You're going to have to put in the time when you endure something hard. You need extra time to do that which is hard. That price may be the price of time. It may be that you have to stay late after work, that you can't quit early. Because if you could quit early and accomplish something that was hard, then it was never hard in the first place. If it's hard, you're going to have to put in the time. You can't stop working when the others do. You're going to have to work late and understand that to accomplish something hard, it's going to take some time. You'll have to start early and you'll have to stay late. And sometimes it'll be required that you give more. that you find out that you have to put, as the saying goes, you've maybe said that, a little blood, sweat, and tears, that it's going to cost you more. If all tasks were easy, people would not learn to sacrifice. We would never know what sacrifice was or was like. People need to learn to give more energy. People need to learn to give more money or more time to or more think time, more concentration. Nobody accomplishes anything hard in life without giving until it hurts. We also need to work harder. Work harder. You know, someone once said that success is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. And boy, that is the truth. That you've got to work hard. I cannot be afraid of perspiration. We cannot be afraid to work. We cannot be afraid to get our hands dirty. If there's a hard task to be done, it just can't be done. We could have as a country, as a whole, as a civilization, say, well, it's just too hard to put a man on the moon. It's just too hard to do this. It's too hard to do that, and just sit back. Country, at those, I'm glad that my father and those examples in my life, and even preachers in which I've looked up to, they have not allowed something hard keep them from accomplishing hard work. Try to push yourself to new heights. Don't be, if you came in at a certain level at your job, hopefully you've grown. Hopefully you've accomplished tasks. Hopefully you've progressed in your knowledge and you've pushed yourself a little harder. We should never be comfortable staying where we're at. No matter what our age is, we should constantly have a desire and a hunger to grow in our learning and in our abilities. Don't take a break every opportunity. Don't sit back and watch others, nor watch the clock, but push yourself to work harder. If the Bible says that everything we do should glorify and honor God, don't you think as a Christian we should be the hardest working person at our jobs? That we should outwork our bosses, especially if they're lost, that we as Christians should do everything in our power to give it all we have. So when we're asked, why do you do so hard? Why do you work through your break? Why do you do everything? Why are you the hardest working here? Then you get to give the honor and the glory to God. Say, because my God demands of it, because whatever these hands find to do, I'm to do it with all my might. Push yourself to work harder. Make solutions, not excuses. But we live in a day and age in our society, instead of coming up with solutions, we just make excuses of why we are the way we are, excuses of why we can't work. You know, excuses are a dime a dozen, but a Christian should not waste a breath of air explaining why we can't, when we can take that energy and that breath to put it towards a solution, towards working to get a task done. I've many times had this conversation with my children, and it goes like this. Can you mow the yard, or can you take out the trash, or can you do the dishes, or can you go clean out the car? Oh, but that's going to take so long. And I get a list of excuses of why it can't be done, and I'm sitting there, and after they're done, I say, well, you know what? The last 3 minutes of telling me why you can't, you could have probably accomplished half of those things. You know, but we do the same thing. We do the same thing. God calls us to do something, and for months or years, we tell God, well, God, I can't do that. Or God, I can't do that this week. Or Holy Spirit, you're asking too much of me. And we'll give excuses instead of solutions when we could have, as a Christian, taken that breath and that energy to put towards accomplishing the task. You know, energy is the best investment that you can have in a solution, not excuses. Excuses never get any work done. But energy is the key. Don't spend your time explaining why it can't be done, but use your energy to get it done. Number next, we've got to care more for others. You got to care more. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be that want to, that burning desire within your heart. When I played basketball, our coach, he would come in and of course, you can't ask for talent. You can't ask for abilities, because he was asking the wrong team. He was asking the wrong person. But he'd come in and say, I want your heart. I want you to leave everything you have out there on that basketball court. I want you to play with heart. I don't want you to leave anything less. You know, we've got to care more about who gets the rebound. We've got to care more about who runs down the court first and who can stay at it the longest. We've got to care more. The person who starts to care will start earlier, will stay later, will give more, will work harder, won't make excuses, and is going to search for solutions to the problem. We must care more about seeing souls saved than the world does at trying to tear down what God has built, tearing down the values of the family, values of the church, and trying to think that there's wicked people in this world and in our society that are living every day to try to destroy what this country was founded upon and try to destroy the good, godly values of our forefathers as they established this country and the belief in their religious freedom and their belief in God. I would hate to think that they are more zealous about doing evil than a Christian is at working harder. We must care more about the souls of lost man. Number next, we've got to beg for God's help. If we're going to endure hardness like a soldier would endure, we've got to have help. We must have help, and we have help in our Lord and Savior. Remember to thank Him. You know, many times we come to God and we beg Him and we beg Him and we beg Him, but we never take the time to thank Him for when He answers our prayers. It shouldn't be that we pray earnestly for God's help and then we don't thank Him. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Every Christian should remember to thank the one in whose help they received. Boy, if someone opens the door for us, we take the time to say thank you. Or someone passes something, we'll say thank you. Or someone sneeze and someone says, "God bless you." Thank you. Sometimes even over the aisle to the next person, we can't even see. You know, "God bless you. Thank you." And we're so kind and so considerate to thank the person and the stranger next to us, but we don't even take the time to thank God for answering our prayers. You know, maybe God would be more apt to answer our prayers if we had take the time to thank Him as we begged Him for the victory. And when He answered our prayers, that we take the time to thank Him. I believe many Christians, they treat God like a credit card. They pull Him out when they need Him. And then once He's answered their prayer or they've gotten what they want, they put Him away because they no longer need Him. No Christian will accomplish any lasting hard task without God's help. Therefore, we must ask. We must ask persistently. We must ask by faith, and we must ask. And when we receive, be grateful. Don't compare yourselves to others. When a hard task comes, we cannot afford to look around at what other people are doing, thinking maybe, well, they have it easier than I do. Or their task is a little bit, and that's one of the things in which is in our human nature. You know, when you have, I believe every parent should parent more than one child. Because I can imagine parenting one child. You never have to break up any fights. You never have to deal with she took that, or they're looking at me. If you have one child that's saying all that, then you need to take them to the doctor. There might be a problem. But many times you feel more like a referee than a parent as you're trying to constantly deal with things, and especially when tasks are given. When you give emptying the dishwasher and then washing the dishes that don't fit or washing the floors or cleaning the bathroom or doing the laundry or all of those things, you're always going to have someone say, "Well, they have it easier. They have it easier than I do." We in our human nature, we do the same thing to God. "Lord, you've given me a much harder task. They have it easier. They have this, look up here, they have this, they have that. Lord, how can it be so hard that we have it?" We must understand that we cannot get into that mindset. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore, let him think that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We got to keep our mind on our own task. It's too important that we accomplish whatever God has given us or whatever, as a child, your parents have given you. And of course, God has placed them into your life as your authority at that time and place in your life. So therefore, what your parents have given you, God has given you. It's too important for you to let your mind come off of your task and not to finish what you've been given or what you've set to do. It does not matter what others think or say. It doesn't matter what everyone around you is saying. The only person that matters is what God thinks. And if we've set our mind to a task, we cannot get into the trap of looking around. You've got to keep the pressure on ourselves. We've got to keep focused and require. You can't require the best out of someone else. You can't make sure that someone else is always on their task and always doing their job. We can only require and make sure that we ourselves are doing our best. Someone else doesn't give it their all. Someone else at work isn't working as hard as they should be. You can't control them, but you can control you. There's no one else in this life that you can fully control. Even as a parent, you can make your children do things. But at some point, they're only going to do it as long as they're made. And at some point, when they become a young adult, they're going to have to stand accountable to God. All the decisions in which they make are going to have to be because they believe it or not. Or whether they have accepted God as their God and not just your God. And you can only require the best of yourself. So let the lazy people pick all the lazy tasks. Sometimes it's a challenge. I'll pick the hardest task first because I want to take it on as a challenge. Maybe let the lazy coworker finish all the lazy tasks. Require more of yourself than you would of someone else. You'll never become stronger by doing something easy. You know, everything that you think of, the metals and the different machines and things that are produced, they're tested and they're run through a series of rugged tests. And they're put pressures on them, even sometimes beyond what they think the breaking point. Why? Because we cannot become stronger if we just always do what's easy. Going through life, going through the motion, just doing what's easy. As parents, we cannot just do what's easy in the area of discipline and raising our children. If we are going to have a stronger relationship, if we're going to try to help our children reach their potential, we must require more on ourselves and not take the easy way out. Let me ask you this morning or this evening, what's hard for you? What is it that is on your list or you find yourself that you know the Lord wants you to do? What is it? You know, as the slogan for a very famous sports brand, just do it. As Nike says, just do it. You know what? Whatever it is on your list this week that you're dreading, guess what? Get up early tomorrow morning and get it done. Just do it. What's hard for you? Understanding that when we put our hands to our effort, or put our hands to work, and our hands are to glorify and honor God, God is worth every bit of effort we put forth. God has given us the strength in which we have, understanding that that when we face a hard task, you know, God gave every person their body and their mind. So it's too hard for me. I'm not as smart as that person. Well, God gave you the mind that you have. I'm not as strong as that person. Well, God gave you the body that you have. And every person eats borrowed food, breathes borrowed air, and drinks borrowed water, because it all belongs to God. So if we face something hard, we know we need God's help. Let's ask God for His help. Let's strive to do our best so that we can give God the glory and the honor. And when we accomplish something hard, it's not so we can look back and say, look what I did. No, we know from Scripture that there's no boasting in heaven. There's no one at the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian. We're going to give an account for what we've done, good or bad. No good deed or no hardship that we've endured. Are we going to look back and say, yeah, that's right. Give me what's due mine. No, it's only going to be because of God and His strength in which we rely in. And as we endure hardness,
as a soldier. As we prepare, as we read the Word of God, and we practice that time with God and that fellowship, and we actively serve the Lord as we prepare for the battle, that not if it comes, but when it comes. Because we know that there will be a spiritual battle in each and every life. There's a spiritual battle in which rages every day. But the battle in which we think one day we might lose, we understand we can have courage, we can have hope as we rely and learn to trust in God. And we endure those hard times as Timothy was being warned. Guess what? Hard times are coming. But you're going to have to endure them. You're going to have to go through those hard times. You're going to have to go through them like a good soldier. Whatever it is that you face this week, or whatever it is you face in the upcoming months, or whatever it is we face for the rest of this year or the rest of our lives, let's decide now we're going to endure like a good soldier. We're going to plan and prepare so when the day comes, when our special forces, many of them train, and some of them even lose their lives in the training because it's dangerous. But they train for when the call comes, if it ever comes, that their country needs them to serve. They'll be ready to serve and proudly. You and I, we are called into a spiritual battle and a warfare in which we can serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How can we expect to run the race and be able to stand when all the things of this world will throw everything they have and the devil will put his snares and his fiery darts and targets right at you? How can we stand if we cannot endure the simple task in which we have every day? How can we endure if we don't endure like a good soldier? A good soldier starts by practicing. How can we endure a spiritual battle if we're not practicing our spiritual exercise by being in the Word of God? Praying, staying faithful to church, the basics. You think a soldier should have the basics down in boot camp. But guess what? You can become very lax. You can, believe it or not, you can forget things. And you've got to refresh. And you know, just as a Christian, a spiritual Christian, we must endure by being prepared and deciding now. When hard times come, too many people quit. Too many people take the easy way out. Too many people are so apt to let just sit back and let someone else do it. No, let's endure like a good soldier, and let's take tasks head on and finish them, and start what we start. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you.